welcome to this week's episode of the Robo Falcons podcast, the official podcast of the Frost Robo Falcons. I am your host, Jason, and I am joined, as always, by Asher.
Hello, hello.
It's been a little while since we had a podcast, and we've had some major updates and changes to the bot since then. A lot of new things have been put on, a lot of tests have been done. We're in the process of driver practice and really honing the skills and tweaking the robot so that it functions the way we need it to. So we brought some people here, some team members here to kind of talk about the new updates to the robot and updates to the team in general. So we have Teddy.
Hello.
We have Thomas.
Hello.
And we have Allison. Now, the three of you all kind of do different things on the team, and then we also work together collaboratively on things. Teddy and Thomas, you guys are on the drive team together.
Yep.
You guys are a driving pair. And then Allison, your work primarily is on the imagery team, which we have an update with the imagery concept as well, which is nice. But we'll start with that. Allison, why don't you give us an update on what we've decided on as far as the team theme goes?
So we're going to name the robot Triton, and it's going to be based off of the Yellow Submarine robot that was worked on before. And so we've done like the pit boards and stuff, which we're working on right now. We're also working on making like the robot itself, how we're going to do like the actual imagery part on the robot too.
So side panels and stuff, yeah. On there. And what are the side panels probably going to look like? Do you have any ideas?
I don't exactly know yet.
Okay. So still working it out?
Yeah.
Excellent. I also see you're wearing something as well on your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? Go ahead and describe that.
So it's going to be the crown, and we're also having necklaces to wear, like, and stuff.
Right, because Triton is also the name of the king in The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
So thus the crown. I would imagine that's probably what it is, right?
Probably.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I saw the pit boards. The pit boards are great. You guys have done a great job on the pit boards. I like the lettering you guys have used. I like the color scheme you guys have used. The pit board itself is sort of like a blue gradient color. Can you describe that? How'd you guys accomplish that?
So the last time I was here, we were like spray painting it at the top. We first started with like light blue and then slowly went down dark blue to black.
We got a lot of stuff done on there. It looks great. Also things that we have a lot of improvements on is the robot itself. Teddy and Thomas, you guys can certainly speak to the things that have happened in the last like 2 or 3 weeks. What types of things have we added to the robot?
I think after we finished our hitting, first we implemented that on the robot, and then we focused on our intake, which we had a couple different designs, but we ended up with a two-wheel design to intake from the submersible.
And what is the so it's two wheels that kind of rotate opposite, yeah, of each other?
And you could also reverse intake that way, so you can if the sample, the game piece, is behind, you can just go backwards and reverse intake.
And then there's a transfer mechanism as well. Once the robot picks up the piece.
Yeah, so once the robot picks up the piece, the arm will retract and flip, and a pincer will come down to pull the piece out while one of the wheels on the intake spins. And then the pincer will flip, and the operator can press a button to select a preset for where the piece will be scored.
So it can either score top basket, low basket, or if we wanted to put a clip on there as well.
Yeah, first basket. Yeah.
So how does that work with the specimens? Like, how do we, what's the process that we're using to do attach?
So everything before was said, and then we raise it to a level, we hook it, we flip the entire thing. So we actually intake the specimen. So when we flip, the hook is actually right side up, and then we just have the arm pull down, and it'll hook the clip onto the bar.
Oh, very cool. So it kind of does it all in motion almost.
Yeah.
And we made some major upgrades to the hanging mechanism. So when last episode we had, I think the mechanism was at like 18 seconds. So now, why don't you guys describe what the hanging mechanism is like now?
We can get a level 3 ascent in less than 5 seconds.
That's insane.
Yeah.
You know, especially after watching, right now there's an event going on, two events actually going on that we're watching, just to kind of see how the other teams are doing. And as it stands right now, there's only been one team that we've seen even do a level 3 ascent.
And there's also not a lot of teams that actually have an ascent at all.
Yeah, you're right. Some of the teams can't even ascend right now.
Some teams even forgo ascending just to score extra points in the in-game.
Yeah, they've sort of skipped that whole portion of it. Which kind of seems like a waste. Like, I feel like that's That's such a cool aspect of the endgame.
It seems so much easier. Like, if other teams could get a 5-second level 3 ascent, you can get 30 points in 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
The highest value you can get from scoring a game piece is 10 points.
Which is
takes more than 5 seconds. The best piece is 10 points. It takes more than 5 seconds because you have to bring it to the human player, have the human player clip it, and then move it onto the bar to score.
I think it's just with the mechanism you're going to use for hanging, because it's hard to develop a system that fast. I think we've done a good job tweaking the motors so our hang system can actually go up fast.
Yeah, I'm very impressed by it. Especially after seeing the other teams in these competitions that are going on right now. I mean, it's amazing what we can do with that hang. So what other types of, what other new things have we added here? Like, I see the mechanism that the pincher is actually new. From the last time I took a look at the robot. How does that whole mechanism work?
The pincher mechanism we have is made of two pinchers that are attached onto gears that are interlocking. We have one servo that will spin and spin both gears so they move in unison,
mm-hmm,
in opposite directions.
Is it a 3D printed piece?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so it's our own fabricated design.
Yeah.
Correct.
Now, from an imagery standpoint, obviously, we're going to have side panels and things on there. Now that we actually have mechanisms on the robot, I imagine it makes it a little bit easier for you guys to design what we can even do as far as imagery goes in the bot.
Yeah, right now, currently outside, they're working on like figuring out how we're going to put it on the robot. But yeah.
So we're typically probably going to go maybe a couple side panels, then maybe a back panel at the most.
Yeah.
Probably. Mm-hmm. And then what do you know what kind of color scheme we're going to be using on the robot?
Don't exactly know yet.
So probably, because right now it's like a yellow and blue is what we're doing on the pit board, right?
Yeah.
So I imagine probably something similar to that on the robot.
I think it should match the pit board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks good. I like it. I like the colors that we've chosen. So now that we actually have a functioning, working, relatively good robot, you guys have been driving it. You guys have been doing driver practice. What have you noticed driving the robot? Like, has it been difficult, more difficult than you expected, or how's the response been?
It's been pretty easy. We just, for the driver, it takes about four button presses to get the piece ready for the operator to place. We have one small issue of how the wheels spin, but that can be corrected by pressing a single button, which we've put to re-zero the wheels and reset the timer they're on.
Yeah, I think it's because when we intake, sometimes it will get stuck and it will like continue intaking or stop intaking, and we have to use that button to manually fix it.
Well, we've got our first competition coming up in 1 week. 1 week from today, we're going to be in Ann Arbor at our first competition. You three, Asher, Teddy, and Tom, you guys have experienced it before. Allison, you haven't experienced it before, have you? Are you excited to see what it's all about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, after seeing, because you've watched some videos now, you know, the live event, does that kind of give you an idea of what the competitions are sort of like?
Yeah.
And then what kinds of things can she expect to see at the competition from your experience?
There's a lot more coordination between the teams than you can see than on the match camera. Teams like on the same alliance typically meet up before the match to talk about strategy and their starting placement on the field.
There's also a bracket system for playoffs, so some teams scout during the competition. I think that's pretty important because you don't want to just pick a team that's at a high ranking. You want to see if you're consistent or not.
And then another thing, from the teams themselves, they'll have like these little collectible things. They might have like little 3D prints, maybe pencils, but usually they'll have pens. And me and Thomas, we both have
quite a few.
We have quite a few. You have enough to fill up a lab coat. Half a lab coat. I've spaced mine more efficiently near the bottom so I can fit more pins, but I'm hoping this year that I can get, like, maybe underneath my arms an amount of pins. There's a lot of pins you can get with the competitions here. It's really fun.
Yeah, I'm also a pin collector, but, like, I don't put them on any type of clothing.
You just gotta have them?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Where do you keep them at home? Is it in a box?
Yeah.
So you mentioned scouting. I know, Asher, you were doing some scouting earlier today.
A little bit.
What's scouting been like so far?
So scouting is a lot different from last year. So what we're doing is we have like this little sheet, right? And it's got a couple categories on it for Auton, Teleop, Endgame, whatever. And so Auton will have like how many samples or specimens scored, where they're scored, and then like perks. For Teleop, we'll have samples, specimens, Endgame. We also have hanging and parking taken into the consideration. And then there's another category where you can add like additional notes. I think there's like speed factor, penalties.
So there's a lot of different things to sort of keep track of on this.
Yeah, lots of things to keep track of. You gotta pay attention to your robot or you're gonna miss a lot of things.
And the point of scouting is so that when we get to the final rounds, when we're picking team alliances, kind of to know, you know, what teams we want to be aligned with, what teams we work best with, so that we can make a good matching pair for the final end competition.
And then also how our opponents are going to react and utilize their abilities for different aspects of the competition. So, like, one team might be more apt to taking samples and putting them in baskets, or another team might try to do samples. It's really a lot of things that we have to take into consideration to make sure that we're really going to play the game effectively. So scouting is definitely a very important factor of the whole competition.
We've got a lot ahead of us as far as the competitions go. We've gotten a lot done in the since the last episode, which I'm very encouraged by. But there's one thing we always ask in this podcast.
What does gracious professionalism mean to you?
I think gracious professionalism means competing like competitively, which I guess is a little bit repetitive, but also being nice, being gracious, I guess, and helping the other teams out, even if they're on the other alliance.
Maintaining a competitive attitude while helping other teams with their development and their engineering process.
I don't know.
Well, the good thing is we're going to have the competition. And you're going to see firsthand what gracious professionalism is. Keep listening to these guys. Listen to past episodes of the podcast. Also, we had a YouTube video released. So this YouTube video was a demonstration of the climbing mechanism. And within 8 hours, it had like 2,000 views. And now it's got close to 8,000 views of teams looking at our climbing mechanism to maybe see what we've done, to copy it, I don't know.
Last time we checked, I think it was 7.7K views with a 4.833 hang.
Yeah, so good stuff. We got a lot of good material out there for people to view of us, and we're doing some great things in the field as well. But thanks, guys, for being here. I really appreciate it. And good luck at the competition.
Thank you.